This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Transcend in Life. I'm excited about today. The gentleman I brought on today, Adam Mendler, is the CEO of the Veloz Group, where he co-founded and oversees ventures across a wide variety of industries. Beverly Hills Chairs, the leading seller of refurbished Herman Miller Aeron chairs in the country. Custom Tobacco, a one-of-a-kind e-commerce platform where customers can create fully customized private label cigars in real time. And Veloz Solutions, a technology consulting and software development practice. Adam is also a nationally acclaimed thought leader, writer, and speaker on topics, including leadership, entrepreneurship, and management. Adam is the creator and host of the podcast 30 Minute Mentors, where each week he goes one-on-one with some of the most successful people in the country on how they got to the top and how listeners can too. Brother, you have been busy, man. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Doing well. Excited to be here with you, JM. Excited to be here with your listeners. Looking forward to diving in and talking about whatever it is that we can chat about to try to help people go win.
Well, I love it, man. I mean, obviously you have, you do a lot, doing the podcast, the business. You have three major, and I'm sure there's even probably more than just the intro I gave. Give me a little bit of your story, brother. How did you get to really operating these successful businesses and the Veloz Group in general?
Yeah, really good question. So I tell people that I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I never had the aspiration to become an entrepreneur, to start my own business. My aspiration was always to run a baseball team. Anyone who knows me knows how much I love baseball. And as a kid, that was what I wanted to do. It wasn't until my late 20s that I really fell into being an entrepreneur. At that point in my life, I had worked for four really big companies, two companies in the world of finance, two companies in the world of entertainment. And at the age of 28, I felt like I kind of knew what it was like to work for big companies. I had a sense as to what the world of corporate America would look like if that was the direction I wanted to stay in. And I felt like for a variety of reasons, it was the right time in my life to try to do something more entrepreneurial. And if I was ever going to start a business, I just thought that that was the right moment. My energy was never going to be higher. My expenses were never going to be lower. And I felt a calling to really try to make more of an impact than I was making. When you're working for a big company, you can feel like you're a bit of a cog in the machine. And I wanted to try to create a culture that would make a difference, a meaningful difference in the lives of others. And when I started the Veloz Group, that was really my mission. I started it with my brother, who's a couple years younger than me. He left what he was doing, which was working as a software developer for a startup here in LA. And he and I joined forces. We started a company called the Veloz Group, which we named after the street we grew up on, Veloz Avenue, in Tarzana, California, which is a suburb of LA. And when we started, we had tons of different ideas that we wanted to push on. And we didn't really know what we were doing, so we pushed on all of them. And most of them went nowhere, but a few of them went somewhere. And a couple of them became e-commerce businesses that we continue to run today. And over the years, we started a software development business. I've done a lot of writing and speaking, started a podcast. And next thing you know, you turn around and say, this is how it all happened.
So I love how you, with the story, you started the Veloz Group with the idea of creating value for somebody else. You're like, corporate may not be for me. I think I can go create something. What is it about cigars or the chairs? Or is it just really these are needs that you were looking to fill?
A really good question, JM. I'm not a cigar smoker. I've never smoked a cigar before in my life. My brother, on the other hand, has smoked many more cigars than the Surgeon General recommends. And as far as office chairs go, I didn't, as a 7-year-old kid, think I would be spending my life selling office chairs. But this is where life takes you. And as an entrepreneur, I think to your point, it's extremely important to be flexible and open-minded to opportunities that you identify in the marketplace. And when we started with a long list of ideas that we had. And we put together a spreadsheet of idea after idea after idea. And naively, we started pushing on all of them in our first year as a business. And by the end of year 1.5, let's say, we realized that we were just doing way too many things at once. We were running really hard, but we weren't really running anywhere because we were running in place. And what we came to realize was that we needed to focus. We needed to pick the ideas that were at that point closest to monetization, because when you're running bootstrap businesses, what's critical is cash flow. And cash was flowing in the wrong direction because we were diverting our attention and weren't focused on generating income. So we focused on the two businesses that we had that were closest to becoming businesses, becoming real businesses. One was Beverly Hills Chairs, which we ultimately were able to turn into the leading sellers in the country of refurbished brand name office chairs. And the other is Custom Tobacco, which we were able to create a one-of-a-kind online platform where customers can go and customize and create private label cigars, fully customized private label cigars with their own private label cigar band in real time. And with Beverly Hills Chairs, what we identified early on was this deep passion among consumers for the Herman Miller Aeron chair, which is the best-selling chair ever made. And the Herman Miller chair, Aeron chair today costs $1,400 for a brand new chair. Back then, I think it was like $1,200, but today it's $1,400 for a brand new Herman Miller Aeron chair. And as many people want a $1,400 chair, that's an expensive chair. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to deliver that chair at a price point that people could afford with the level of credibility from the perspective of a buyer, where you know you're buying it from a secure party. We offer a lifetime warranty. The chairs look like brand new chairs, even though they're refurbished. If there's an issue, you return it, no questions asked, things like that. So really having the mindset of putting yourself in the shoes of your customer. Customer centricity has been a core fabric of both of these businesses. Custom Tobacco, understanding what we could do to try to create something that's really differentiated, not already in the marketplace. So even though these weren't necessarily areas of passion for me, I, number one, tried to think of what the opportunity in the marketplace was that made sense. And number two, put myself in the shoes of my customers, because at the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, you always have to think about your customers. You have to know your customers intimately. You have to continually serve and service your customers. And if you're not operating a customer-centric business, you're not going to be around very long.
So one of the things Adam was talking about is the fact that he, as an entrepreneur, was doing too many things at one time. I think that's pretty interesting, just the way you sat down and looked at it. And, hey, what is the closest thing we have to a business? And I guess my question in that is, clearly there was some failure on maybe some other parts. How did you figure that out? What was your process there? Because I think that's one thing, entrepreneurs, you had a lot of drive, you were young, you and your brother are excited, but you had to get clear on exactly what your value proposition was and what you were bringing to the table.
Yeah, good question. I think what happens is there's the right way to approach it and the wrong way to approach it. And in our case, we approach it the wrong way. We didn't ask ourselves these questions early on. And something that I've learned from doing and learning from failing is the importance of asking these questions before you get started. These are really important questions that every entrepreneur should dive into very, very deeply at the beginning of this process. And we didn't do that. And we did it because we were forced to do it. We did it because we had the figurative gun to our head. It was a year and a half in and we were running out of money and we had no choice but to ask ourselves these questions. So to anyone listening to this podcast, don't get to the place that we got to, because if you get to the place that we got to, you're going to ask the questions because you have no choice but to ask the questions. Our alternative was folding up shop and going and doing something different, which neither of us wanted to do. But if you want to approach it the right way, ask yourself these questions as early on as you can. Ideally, as you're approaching the question of whether you should start a business altogether. Do you have the capacity to start a business? Do you have the time for it? Is this something that you could effectively pull off? Do you have the team for it? How tooled and equipped are you to execute on this vision you have? We all have great ideas and we all fall in love with our ideas. But what happens then? As an entrepreneur, I can tell you, and any entrepreneur will nod their head in agreement. Ideas are great, but it's ultimately about execution. And to execute, you need to be able to focus.
So let's talk about that executing and focus. And you talked about asking some of those questions. Let's get some tangible stuff. Like, what are some of the questions these entrepreneurs can really be asking so that they can get clear? Because again, I've failed multiple times in starting businesses and being clear on your value, being clear on, you talked about the culture earlier today. I think that's so important. So can you give a couple of your best questions that you would really ask entrepreneurs to be asking themselves before they start a business?
Yeah, really good questions. I mean, the first question you want to ask yourself is why? Why am I doing this? And if the answer is, I'm doing this because I hate my job, or I'm doing this because I want to wear shorts, or I'm doing this because I want flexible hours. And those are reasonable reasons, but they're probably not reasons that are going to ultimately lead you to success. I think it's really important to have an idea that you're so passionate about that you can't do anything but pursue that idea. As an entrepreneur, I could tell you, this is much, much harder than anything I've ever done. And it's much harder than I thought it would be. And I had people tell me, this is going to be harder than anything you've ever done. And it's going to be way harder than you think it's going to be. And even with people telling me that, it's way harder than I could have ever imagined. And that's advice that I try to share with audiences as well. And I don't know if it can truly be internalized until you do it yourself. But with that said, unless you're so deeply invested in whatever it is you're trying to pull off, it's probably not the path for you. So a big question to ask is, why am I doing this? Another big question is this business the right business for me? Because you could have a $1 billion business idea, but are you the person who is capable of pulling it off? Are you the person who is best suited to pull it off? Do you have the right team to pull it off? Do you have the right personality to pull it off? And I've, over the years, my business partner, my brother, he's an idea guy. He has an idea minute. He's thrown idea after idea to me. And my response to many of them has been, okay, these are really interesting ideas with lots and lots of potential, but we're not in a position to really do anything with them because, number one, we have way too much going on. And to the point earlier about really needing to focus, I think it's important not to pull yourself in too many directions. And number two, these might be great ideas, but are these ideas that are well-suited for me? Are these ideas that are well-suited for us? So those are a couple of questions that I think are important to ask.
I love it, man. The other question I have is, you're talking, obviously working with family, you have some advantages and some potential disadvantages. So obviously, hopefully, most family, you have trust and you have a business partner that you can really trust and rely on. But man, it can be complex working with family. Tell me how that works for you guys, really separating family, business, or is it just a muddled altogether? This is our life now.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually just had a guest who I interviewed for my podcast. The episode's not going to be released until February, but she started a business a few years ago, and it's an extremely successful company, just absolutely crushing it. She's very well known, kind of a celebrity in her space. And she works with family, and she works with her husband and with her sister. And I asked her this question. I asked her, so one of the questions people always ask me is, what advice do you have for people on the topic of working with family? What advice do you have for listeners? So this is a topic that I find myself discussing often. And whether it's me asking the question or me answering the question, it's definitely something that people are interested in. I can tell you from my own experience that something that everyone should understand is that when you go into business with family, something you should be prepared for is the lack of separation between work and family. And in my own experience, just about any family gathering, work is a topic. Is it the central topic? Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but it's there. And there is no true separation between business and family. And if you want that separation, and this could be a matter of whether you're working with a sibling, it could be a matter of whether you're working with a spouse, or even if you extend it to whether you're working with a friend and you worry about business interfering with your friendship, recognize that this will always be a key part of that relationship. You're never going to be able to separate it. It's not like you're going to go to a basketball game and it's not going to come up. Now, maybe you can go to one basketball game and it won't come up, but can't go to two basketball games without it coming up. So that's really important to recognize right off the bat. There are a number of other things to consider. And the truth is, Jam, we could spend a whole episode on this, but just to throw a couple of other points out there, it's important to ask yourself, what is the dynamic? So in the case of me and my brother, we have very complementary skill sets. So that was one of the reasons why we decided to work together. I do things really, really well that my brother can't do. My brother does things really, really well that I can't do. There are certainly things that neither of us do well, that we try to hire people to do. But the fact that we aren't the same person allows us to operate well as a team because we can complement each other. So I think that that's important. So that's a big one. Another really important thing for anyone working together, whether you're working with a family member, with a friend, or with a stranger, is the importance of communication. And when there are problems communicating, it doesn't matter if it's your brother, if it's your best friend, or if it's your enemy, you're going to run into issues. So challenges that I've had over the years have centered around communication, and resolving communication challenges ultimately helps you succeed as business partners and helps your company become more successful.
Clearly, I would call you a communication expert. And here's why. We have had some technical challenges today, but you made very concise, clear points. You're like, look, man, I made this much time. This is what I'd like to see happen. And you said it correctly. You're also a very insightful guy and a good listener. You can just tell. I guess my question is, where did you learn? Is that just something you innately had? Or is this a skill that you have honed over the years? Because you're really calm, your demeanor's calm, you're a good listener, and it's not like you're waiting for somebody to shut up and so you can talk. You're literally listening, and then you're responding. And that sounds so simple, yet so few people do it well, and it's clearly a skill of yours.
Jim, firstly, I really appreciate that. Thank you. It's extremely kind of you to say, and it's a great compliment, so thank you for that. I think that, and this comes from just about every great leader I've spoken to, one of the core principles of effective leadership is great listening. Great leaders are great listeners. And I think it's extremely important for anyone interested in becoming a successful leader to develop themselves as great listeners. And this kind of opens up a broader conversation, which relates to, can you become great at something by learning how to do it? Or are you great at something because you're naturally born with a certain set of skills? And what I've come to learn is that the answer is yes. So, for example, there are certain things that I do well naturally. Now, just because I do something well naturally doesn't mean that I'm going to be as good as I could possibly be at it if I didn't work at it, if I didn't continue to learn and grow and try to become better at it. So, for example, I think that I have some natural skills that allow me to become a successful leader. But the fact that I am continually trying to develop my leadership skills by continually trying to learn and by continually trying to learn from America's top leaders, my podcast, 30 Minute Mentors, every week, I'm going one-on-one with one of the most successful leaders in the country and asking them how they got to the top, and more importantly, how listeners could get to the top as well. I'm growing as a leader through my conversations with my podcast guests, with America's top leaders. And that process allows me to grow as a leader. So yes, having a natural skill set helps you, but with anything else, you can develop, you can grow. I always think about baseball, and you know, I as a kid played a ton of baseball. And at a certain age, I realized that I would never be able to play Major League Baseball. I was a very, very mediocre high school baseball player. And I think that I worked as hard as I possibly could at baseball and got as much as I could out of my skill set, which essentially topped out at high school baseball. Now, someone with a more natural set of skills, someone who's more naturally talented at baseball, someone with the tools of Barry Bonds, who then applies themselves, could become a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. I didn't have that set of tools. So I was a mediocre third baseman in high school. So if you want to become great at something, try to figure out what you're good at and what you're passionate about and continue to try to improve at it, learn, develop, grow. One last thing I want to mention, Jam, as we sort of close out this point, is something really interesting that I've learned in doing my podcast. When I started 30 Minute Mentors, I assumed that my listener base would consist exclusively of emerging leaders, college students, young professionals, MBAs, people early on in their journeys interested in taking that next step. And what I've come to learn is that, yes, that is a significant portion of my audience, But an equally significant portion of my audience is incredibly successful leaders. Leaders like my guests, including my guests, highly successful CEOs, highly successful entrepreneurs, investors, military leaders. And the reason why they like listening to 30-minute mentors, among consuming other kinds of similar content, is because they are dedicated learners. They are lifelong learners. And their dedication to learning, their commitment to continually growing as leaders, is ultimately what has helped propel them to become such great leaders. So to anyone listening to this podcast, I would highly encourage you to try to find whatever content that resonates with you, including this podcast, and truly utilize it as a way to grow. And ultimately, JM, to the theme of your podcast, it'll help you win in whatever it is you're trying to do.
Well, love that, man. And one of the things that I've said openly, this forum, because of the ability to ask questions that are deeper than just surface level, I just imagine when you're asking these mentors, these leaders, you're asking some questions that are really getting just way below the surface. And I guess my question is, what are the common things that you're seeing? If we were to say, here's the three things that I'm seeing most of the time with these leaders, they are X. Is it learning? I'm really curious because I haven't had a chance to listen to the show. I can't wait to. But what are you really hearing from these listeners, from your guests? Because there's typically a pattern, there's commonalities amongst these successful people that they're doing again and again.
Yeah, so I actually give a talk to audiences called Lessons from America's Top Leaders. And I will break down a number of great lessons that I've learned from America's top leaders. And I just shared one of them, which is the correlation between lifelong learning and leading effectively. And Jim, I don't know if this is where you're going with the question. I'm also often asked, what are the common traits of effective leaders? And we spoke about one of them, which is the importance of listening. I can tell you that of the guests who I've interviewed, everyone who I've interviewed falls into the same sets of categories, which are interesting to me. Firstly, everyone is really smart. I haven't interviewed anyone who I've said, how did this person achieve what they've achieved? Like, how did they do this? In reality, these are really, really smart people. And these are people who, when you understand who they are as human beings, you understand how they're able to attain success. So they're not accidentally, you don't wake up on third base. They're also really high quality people. They're real people. So many of my guests really take an interest in me, and I find that awesome because they don't have to. You could just go on the air and Jam, you see this as a podcast host. I'm sure you have some guests who are kind of interested in getting to know you, and other guests who or just kind of zip in and zip out. And what I found is that, the really, really successful leaders are really interested and take an interest in my career trajectory and what I'm doing, and want to, in some shape, form, or fashion, help guide me. And I really appreciate that. And that just goes to show that they're, real people. They have humility. It's something that I've seen over and over again, where people aren't afraid to poke fun at themselves. One of my guests, Admiral Jim Stavridis, one of the most respected and revered military leaders of our generation, 4-star admiral, was the chief ally commander of NATO. Admiral Stavridis was on the short list to be vice president when Hillary Clinton was running. She interviewed him. And then when Hillary Clinton lost and Trump became president, Trump then interviewed him to become Secretary of State, and he declined a position in the administration. So Democrats and Republicans can't agree on anything except for the fact that Admiral Stavridis is the cream of the crop. And if you listen to that interview, you'll hear him poking fun at, him, at himself, making fun of his height and other things. So these are real people not afraid to take shots at themselves. Another general, a friend of mine, Reynold Hoover, who is a podcast guest, likes to tell the story about when he was a senior advisor in the White House, and he was a three-star general, he was also the Easter Bunny. So it just goes to show, you don't really think the Easter Bunny would be a three-star general, but you never know. At the end of the day, being a great leader entails truly caring about people around you, ultimately being able to relate to the people around you, being able to inspire and connect and motivate. And that starts from within. That starts from being real. So hopefully those are a few things that listeners can take away and bring into their own styles of leadership.
Oh, absolutely. And I, there are, you're right, the traits. I love the story of the general being the Easter Bunny. That is, I love that, that he, you know what? He, this is a badass, yet he is not taking life that seriously. I love that. Let me ask you this, brother, just because you do so much, and I want to be mindful of your time, but you, the Veloz Group has done these really unique and cool things. What's inspiring you and your brother to continue to do it? Because you just said it, inspire and connect. You're bringing value to people. What is that for you guys? What's going to take you for the next 5, 10, 20 years and the next step for the Veloz Group?
Yeah, JM, man, dude, you're asking great questions. I love it. I understand why your listeners tune in, because you're going well below the surface level stuff. This is awesome. So something that I tell audiences that I speak to is, I think it's really important when you're trying to find something to do with your life, with your career, to try to check three boxes. Number one, try to find something that you're good at. Number two, try to find something that you're passionate about. And number three, try to find something that will make a positive impact in the lives of others. And if you can find something that checks all three of those boxes, you'll know you found it. That's it. You're good. Think about it. And JM, I'm going to pose this question back to you. And to your listeners, this will be a rhetorical question, but to you, this is a question I'm sure you can answer. How many times have you had a job when it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Maybe you showed up at 9, it's 3 o'clock, you're leaving at 5. You didn't really do much all day, but you're completely drained. You're just spent from doing what? I don't know, maybe reading Bill Simmons' article. And compare that to another job or an entrepreneurial experience when you wake up really, really early, you go to bed late, you don't really have much free time during the day. It's definitely not to read Bill Simmons' articles. And you're working long hours, you're going nonstop, but you're energized the entire time. And you go to bed at night because you're so tired. And when you wake up the next day, you can't wait to get started. What's the difference between job at one and job two? It's those three boxes. It's finding something you're good at, finding something you're passionate about, and finding something that will make a difference in the lives of others. And if you can find those three things, you found it.
That's gold right there, you guys. I mean, quite literally finding these three areas. Brother, I love that. I think you summed it up so well. Let me ask you this, because I want to finish off with, I know there's something I didn't know enough to ask you. And you're like, man, you should have asked me this. And this is what I got to leave the audience. What is that one thing that I should have asked you, brother, I got to tell the audience this.
The truth is you ask great questions. I've guested on lots of podcasts. I can't tell you how many, but quite a few. And this was great. I really enjoyed it. You asked really insightful, thoughtful questions. You know, I haven't had the exercise of having to prepare for an interview with myself. I know that when I prepare for interviews with my guests, I put a lot of time in, and I'm sure you do too. I put probably way more time than anyone would imagine. It's not something that I get out of bed and just start rolling questions out, because I can tell you with my podcast, as with yours, you want to optimize every minute you have with the guests you bring on, and you want to make sure it's as valuable an experience as possible for listeners. So you want to come prepared. A line I love from John Wooden, you know, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So preparation is such a key part of success. And maybe if I prepare for an interview with myself, I'll come back and see what question you didn't ask. But right now, I don't know. This is great. I had a lot of fun.
Well, I did as well, man. I love what you're doing. Guys, make sure to check out 30 Minute Mentors. But Adam, where else can they connect with you online? Because you're obviously making a positive impact on the world. I think so many people can glean even more from being around you. Where can they connect with you online?
I really appreciate that. And I try to make it as easy as possible. It's really just my name, Adam Mendler. So you can find me at Adam Mendler. That's at Adam Mendler on Instagram, at Adam Mendler on Twitter. You can go to adammendler.com and find me there. My podcast, 30 Minute Mentors, all spelled out on every major podcasting platform, whatever podcasting app you're listening to this great podcast on, and you can go to 30minutementors.com. And Jam, just thanks again. Really enjoyed it. Had a ton of fun. And thank you to everyone listening to this podcast.
Honestly, brother, it was our pleasure. Again, I'm so happy that we were able to get through it. And you are so gracious, and I really appreciate it. Continue the great, amazing work that you and your brother are doing, man. Really appreciate you. All right, you guys, until next week, continue to transcend in life. Have an amazing week. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to transcendentlifepodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.